All right. Now, I was picking on the boys coming down, taking up the offering this morning, but I'm smart enough. They've been around enough to be used to being picked on. But I'm smart enough to know that I'm very thankful and proud of my boys and my girls, because I'm around enough pastors to know that how a lot of preachers' kids turn out. You know, they hang around the deacon's kids, what do you expect? And so I said, never had to get either one of them out of jailhouse or anything of that nature. And the only thing I ever had to go to school but once, and it wasn't David's fault then. He had took his favorite rubber snake, and the teacher took it away from him. And she put it in a drawer, and another teacher opened it. It wasn't his fault. Now, if he had put it in that drawer, I might would have blamed him for it, but that wasn't his fault. I said, they both turned out, made me a very proud daddy. So pick on them a lot, but they, I promise you, I get as much as I give. So they're pretty good at dishing it back. But proud of them, proud of my girls. Malia this week, or last week actually, was inducted into the National Honor Society. And she's like, I don't know where she is anymore. She was 12th in her class. She hadn't shown it to me lately, so I don't know if that's good or bad. But proud of my babies, and so they make me proud. Don't tell them that enough, and I don't guess any parent does. But they're way easier to pick on than they are to brag on. I'll tell you that. So, proud of them. All right. This morning we've been talking over the last few weeks about things to change, things to adjust, things to beware of, to make our holidays all that they can be, all that they should be, to eliminate some of the problems that come along with our holidays. We talked a few weeks ago about attacking anger, and started with it because it's probably the hardest one to deal with. And so deal with our anger. We talked about depression. We know that holidays can be a discouraging, depressing time of the year for many people. Last week we talked about thankfulness. One of the things I think changes everything that we do is to have a what's called an attitude of gratitude. It changes the way that we look at everything. And so this morning, Eve, I want to continue that same series of faults and what I had originally called Tom Terrific, now that it's going into the Christmas season and most of us eat barbecue, I had actually thought about changing it to Happy Ham, but Tom Terrific will work. And so as one of the next things that probably really got kicked off good about this time is the idea and the problem of stress. And it tends to build the closer we get to Christmas, the closer it gets. In case you're counting, we're about 27 days and 13 hours from Christmas Day. Some of you didn't want to hear that. Some of you are trying to ignore that and put it off as long as possible. And I'm going to preach on stress, and I just gave you some. And so stress is that thing that that flares up in our life. All of us are unfortunately familiar with stress and that comes up in our life, and everyone deals with it in a different way. Some kind of take it and just keep packing it in. Some lash out and throw stuff. All of us handle stress just a little bit differently. And stress has been defined as what you feel when you're having to handle more than you're used to. That's probably a really simple definition. I'm sure some psychiatrist somewhere has got a far more detailed example, a definition of stress. But having to handle more than you're used to, and that uncomfortable feeling that comes at that time. Now, the strange thing about stress is not necessarily bad. Even, in fact, some stress is actually helpful. Some stress is good. If you've ever seen anybody who apparently has no stress, would be somewhat dangerous. You get behind the wheel of the car and go down the road, you need a certain amount of stress. If you have no stress, you turn around and you're driving like this and you're up in a tree somewhere. I mean, you need a certain amount of stress that kind of keeps you on your side of the road. You need a certain amount of stress. Your boss says you need to be at work at 8 o'clock. And you, you come walking in about 10:30, high-fiving everybody. You need a little more stress in your life. You know, you need to stress a little bit more about what time you get to work. And so there's a certain amount of stress that is okay, even healthy, even protective for that matter. There's certain areas in your life, you know, somebody comes in waving a gun, it's good to have a little bit of stress about that situation. I mean, there's certain things that stress is a little bit good for, and we need a certain amount of stress in our life. The problem is when there's too much too often. When stress comes too frequently and in too big a doses, and that's when it begins to be dangerous to us and cause all kinds of emotional and health problems, headaches, stomach aches, tension, inability to sleep. When stress kicks in, our body puts out hormones that cause us to breathe faster, cause our heart to kick up a notch, again, which is sometimes good. If you're running a race, that's good. That's what helps you win the race. And so there's some amount of that that's good. But we're not built to live under that kind of emotion, that kind of pressure all the time. It can cause back pain. There are all kinds of health things that too much stress can do in our life. And this season just tends to start and just, it kind of builds until Christmas Day. It builds until everything's done. Or it may build until February, March, April, May, whenever all the credit card bills are paid. You know, just stress this time of year is common. It's not real hard to find. I tore out a little article out of the great theological magazine Reader's Digest this week, and it was an interesting question. The question was simply, are the holidays joyous or stressful? And they asked people from 16 different countries to answer that question. Are the holidays joyous or stressful? And I found interesting the answers or the percentages. In the Philippines, of all places, these are the countries who asked, and they asked in the Philippines, 97% of the people said they were joyous. Only 3% of the people in the Philippines admitted that the holidays were stressful. I've decided one of two things. I either need to go preach in the Philippines online, or I need to go see what they know about the holidays the rest of us don't. Because only 3% admitting that it's stressful was somewhat surprising to me. Number two was Russia. Number three was Germany. Number four was China. And I found that one really interesting, that 6% of Chinese say that the holidays are stressful. You might know why that may be odd. Exactly. They're not a Christian. They're not celebrating Christmas to begin with. And then I thought about it, but they're really busy making all the stuff we'll pass around at Christmas. You know, that's the only thing I could think of. Anybody want to guess what percentage of Americans? And I will tell you this, out of 16 countries, America placed 15th in the most stress. 15th. Now, Philippines were first at 97%. America was 15th. What percentage of Americans said that the holidays were joyful, not stressful? 50%. 60% said they were joyful. 42. 10. 20. Any more guesses? 5. Man, you got a lousy Christmas coming up, don't you? Ed, you need to buy her a great big diamond or something for Christmas. Cheer her up. 5%. Would you believe me if I told you that in America, 82% said the holidays were joyful? Only 18% said they were stressful? I think I know where I need to preach online.
You know, either that or they define stress different than I do. Only 18% of Americans said that the holidays were stressful. I found that utterly amazing because I got to be honest with you, I'm thinking 20 or 30%. You know, that's my thinking. I just cannot imagine that only 18% of Americans find the holidays stressful. There's just, because there's certainly plenty to be stressful over if you really allow it. So what I thought I would do this morning is I want to test that theory. I want to give you a test. I don't give tests very often. I've been giving tests on Sunday night, but I give you the answers. The only one gets them wrong is Archie. I want to give you a test real quick, and I got this test from somebody here in the church, and I found it really interesting that this was a really closely monitored test. Now, I don't know how exactly it works, but what they say is that, you ever seen those things in the paper where you look and you're supposed to spot the differences in the two pictures? They say that that this picture, I'm going to put up a picture in a moment, of two identical dolphins. And they say the more differences you can find between the two dolphins, the more stress you have. The more differences you see in the dolphins, the more stress you're under. And this was from some, I forgot the college that did this test, and it was really thoughtful and put out. And so I want you to look up here, and I want you to count and see how many differences you see. And the more differences you see, the more stress you're under. I had to explain that to Archie this morning. See, everybody sees some difference. So I do need to go ahead and preach on stress, right? Because y'all got some, you know, right? How many differences do you see? One. James doesn't see but one difference. Yeah, just one. All right, let's talk about stress for a minute. Paul gives us a great, great example of stress and what stress does to us and how to deal with stress. And it's really, this is a unique passage because what Paul says is really, really simple. But it is terrible to put into practice. It is vicious to actually carry out. Paul gives us just a really straightforward thing because stress comes from worrying, right? And so Paul says, let me give you four things. And I've couched them this way. I've called them four practices that we need to put into our life to be able to deal with the worries, the stress of life. And again, they are really, really simple to say. They're really, really difficult to practice. And so here's the first one. And this one is one that is probably the most difficult. The first thing that he says is we should practice peace. That we should practice peace. Look what he says. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. If you go on in just a moment, if you scan down just a little bit in Philippians, you'll see in verse 6 that he says this. He says, be anxious or worry for nothing. Now, there's two words in this passage I'm going to ask you to really pay attention to. You may want to underline them, you may want to mark them, whatever you want to do, highlight them. But one of them is the word nothing. Paul says in this verse, you want to deal with stress, you want to deal with worry, you want to get it out of your life, practice peace. Well, how do you practice peace? Worry about nothing. Man, that's easy to say. That just rolls off the tongue. Yeah, it does. Yeah, and Paul simply says, don't do that. Yeah, I've told you before, one of the earliest jokes I ever remember hearing was of the guy who goes to the doctor and says, Doc, it hurts when I do this. And Doc says, well, don't do that. You know, and honestly, that's exactly what Paul says about stress, about worry. He says, don't do that. That's what he says. He says, don't do that. Don't worry. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't let those things worry you. I found something else really interesting about worry that I found. I don't think any of us can really qualify this, but I think most of us can identify with this study. And this one is legitimate. This one isn't cows and dolphins flying through the sea. This one's legitimate. I can't remember the man who done the study, but he said this about our worries. He says 40% of our worries never happen. Would you say that's about right? At least 40, probably. 40% of the things we worry about never happen. 30% of the things we worry about are things that happened in the past that we can't change to begin with. Would you agree with that? Somewhere in that, I don't know about 30%, but a lot of the things we worry about are yesterday. 12% of our worries are needless worries about our health. Needless worries. Think about it. Every other television commercial anymore is a commercial for some medicine, for some disease that we decide we've got. You know, see your doctor if you have any of these symptoms. You know, it's amazing. You know, I hear those prescription advertisements and they say if you take this medicine, it may give you headaches, bad vision, runny nose, and a cough. Well, that's what I go to the doctor for. Not to get. You know, 12% needless worries about our health. 10% are worries over insignificant or petty concerns. So 40% never happened. 30% are things in the past. 12% are needless worries about our health. 10% are worries that are insignificant or petty. Only 8% of our worries are legitimate concerns. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. If 8% of our worries are legitimate concerns, what that doesn't tell us is, you know, sometimes we worry about things that are real, but what percentage of that 8% of things we worry about that are real, how many of that 8% ever actually come about? And so in other words, what he shows us is, again, most of the things we worry about really don't matter. And I know what you say, oh, but you don't know what I've got going on. You don't know about my job. You don't know about my family. You don't know about my circumstance. You don't know about my income. You don't know about this. Look down at verse 6 with me for a moment again. Look what Paul says. Paul says, worry about nothing. Be anxious for nothing. In the Greek, let me tell you what the word nothing means. In the Greek, the word nothing means nothing. Yeah, that's what it means. And so if Paul was standing here today, and again you say, well, who's Paul to write? Well, Paul's the man that got stoned. Paul's the man who got beat. Paul's the man who got ran out of town. Paul's the man who got locked up every time he turned around. Paul knew what it meant to have stress in your life. And if Paul was standing here today, and you were to say, oh, but in my life, be anxious for nothing. Oh, but you don't know about my kids. Hush. Be anxious for nothing. Oh, but you don't know about my job. Hush. Be anxious. Worry about nothing. Practice peace. Rejoice always, he says. And again, in case you missed it, he says, rejoice. Be anxious. Worry about nothing. Most of the modern translations, that's the way they translate those first few words of verse 6. Worry about nothing. Fret about nothing. You say, oh, but Jimmy, you don't have... Don't take it up with me. You know, I'm just the messenger. You know, I'm still working on this myself, okay? You know, I'm like that little song the kids sing sometimes, he's still working on me. I'm not telling you this as the poster child. I'm just the delivery boy. And the message says, worry about nothing. Now, again, I know how easy that rolls off the tongue. I know how hard, though, it is to swallow. Yeah, worry about nothing. But I want to ask you a question. If we went back into the Old Testament, and I was to go back into the book of Exodus, and I was to turn there, and I was to find a passage of Scripture, and it said, thou shalt not kill. What is that? A commandment. Honor thy father and mother. What is that? A commandment. Worry about nothing. What is that? Same response I got at the first service. Y'all are really good at when I say, thou shalt not lie. That's a commandment. I know that one. Honor your father. That's a commandment. Worry about nothing. That's a commandment. You know, you get awful quiet on that one. Look at that wording in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. If that was in Exodus, it would be the 11th commandment. We wouldn't bat an eye at it. And here's the reason that it's different. Listen, when it comes right down to it, most of us, when we get to those commandments, we don't have much problem with stealing. We don't have a whole lot of problem with adultery. We don't have a whole lot of problem with murder. But worry is a different animal. But you know what the Bible says? Yeah, I'm going to look again. Let me walk back over here. Let me check. Yep, Exodus is in the same book that Philippians is in. It's right here in this book. Look on the right side of your Bible. It'll say Holy Bible. And if you look in the table of contents, it'll say Exodus, and it'll go on down a little further, and it'll say Philippians. They're all in the same book. They came from the same place, and the same person who said, honor thy father and thy mother, said, worry about nothing. That hurts. We have to practice that one. Let's be honest. All of us are good at worrying. Vance Havner said, worry, it's like sitting in a rocking chair to give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. We're good at worry. Paul says, practice peace. And I'm using the word practice because it takes work. It's like learning a new habit. It's like learning a new sport. You got to practice it to get good at it because it's much easier to worry. We're going to have a conference this weekend on prayer. And we're going to talk about learning to pray. One of the things Dr. Henderson says about prayer is one of the reasons most of us struggle with prayer is because we learn to pray at church. Yeah, and let's be honest, you pray different when you stand up in front of everybody than you should when you pray in private. And that's one of his foundational things about prayer. And we have to teach people to pray. We have to teach people to share their faith. We have to teach people to do it. How did you learn to worry? Any of you go to a class? How many of you ever read a book on how to pray? On prayer? You read a book on prayer? Heard a sermon on prayer? This is yes. Heard a sermon on prayer? Heard a Sunday school lesson on prayer? Saw a book on... We teach prayer. How many of you had to go to class to learn how to worry? You ever read a book on how to worry correctly? Yeah. You ever heard a preacher stand up and tell you this is... Now, y'all are not worrying correctly. This is how you need to worry. How'd you learn to worry? An example? I don't even think you needed an example, Melissa. I'll be honest with you. You take a little baby, put him in a crib, and don't feed him. What happens in just a little bit? He gets worried about his next meal, won't he? He'll scream bloody murder. You know what Archie said this morning about worry? He said he taught himself. Worry is just something that we're good at. It's just something that's in our nature. But Paul says, worry about nothing. We need to practice peace. Don't let those things get under our skin. Now, again, it's easy to say, and every one of us is wired differently, and every one of us has different circumstances. But Paul simply says you rejoice. You don't allow things to get under your skin. Well, here's what happens. And all of us know this. When somebody takes something away, when someone quits smoking, what happens generally a lot of times? They gain weight. Yeah, it's just the way we're wired. Yeah, somebody gives up one thing, they typically pick up something else. So if we're going to quit worrying, listen, if some of you gave up worry, let's be honest. You'd have enough free time on your hands to build an ark. You know, tomorrow. You know, let's just be honest. If you gave up worry, you'd have so much free time on your hands, we've got to give you something to put in its place. So Paul says in verse 6, worry about nothing, but then look what he says. But in everything, there's a second word I want you to notice, nothing and everything. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. Instead of worrying about it, pray about it. I just want to ask you one simple question. You run this one through your own little mind's computer. If all of a sudden today, all the time you generally spend worrying was time you spent praying, what What would change in your life? I don't think we can even begin to imagine. If all those sleepless nights you set up worrying, you cast out the worry and you said, you know what, I refuse to worry about this, I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to worry about nothing, but I'm going to pray about everything. What would be the difference in our life? What would be the difference in our homes? What would be the difference in our community? What would be the difference in our church? If all of a sudden we said, you know what? That time I used to spend worrying, I'm going to throw it out and I'm going to begin to pray instead of worry. See, some of you right now are saying, no, I just don't really have time to pray. Probably not, because you spend all your time worrying. I'm helping you free up some time in your schedule. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. And listen, I know, again, I use the word practice because it's not easy. It's not simple. It's much easier to worry. It's way easier to worry because generally, you know what? When we're worried about something, we get somebody else to worry with us. It's hard to get somebody to pray with us. Paul says, worry about nothing. Practice peace, but pray about everything. Practice prayer. Replace the worrying with praying. Again, what would change in your, you know, in your finances? What would change in your home? What would change in your life? Because let me ask you a question. So far, and most of you in here, I don't even know what the average age is, but most of you in here, you've had some experience in the worrying department. Is that safe to say? Let me ask you this. Can you really say, you know what? I remember one time when I was younger, man, I had something coming up in my life, and boy, I was worried about it, and I worried about it, and I worried about it, and you know what? It got better because I worried about it. It may have got better, but was it because you worried about it? And now, on the other hand, I am going to ask you to do something here. If you've ever prayed about something, and it got better, you got an answer. Stand up. Look around. You tell me, is it better to worry about anything or to pray about everything? Worry, like Vance Adner says, it gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. You look around. Every person in this building stood up and said, you know what? I've prayed about something and I got answers. It may not have been the answer I wanted. It may not have been the result, but I got an answer to prayer. Worry didn't get me anywhere. Now, you sit back down. I like hearing your knees pop. Worry about nothing, but pray about everything. What would change? What would be different? Listen, the worry's not getting you anywhere. You might as well get prayer there. You might as well give some time to God and see how that pans out, because the worrying isn't doing anything but giving you an altar. Worry about nothing. Practice peace. Practice prayer. Pray about everything. Third thing that he says is that we practice praise. After he says, by in everything pray, he says, and supplication with thanksgiving. Practice praise. You know, one of the things I've noticed, I don't know about you, but I think most of you would have to agree with this as well. Have you ever had something on, say you get up on Sunday morning, something's bothering you, something's on your mind, you're worried, and you come into church and the Sunday school lesson goes along, and so you ought to come to Sunday school, your Sunday school lesson comes along, you come into church, you start singing, you start talking to folks, you start fellowshipping together, the preaching starts, and what happens, all of a sudden for an hour or so, you kind of forget those worries for a minute, don't you? And then what happens? We walk out the door and we pick them back up and we take them home with us. You know what? Worries wither up and die in the face of praise. I remember it's probably been 20 years ago now. I have a toenail cut off, part of it. And you know, they shot me full of that numb and stuff and everything. But I remember my doctor taking me and telling me, said, reach up there and pinch right there. Just really hard while I do this. And so, you know, the brain really has a hard time focusing on two things like that at one time. Now, I like to rip that little piece of meat out from between my thumb and first finger. Yeah, I don't know. I might have been just as well off feeling my toe. But, you know, it's hard to praise and worry at the same time, if not impossible. And so he says, pray about everything. Worry about nothing. And praise with thanksgiving. Praise. We got to pray. And listen again, it's something we have to practice because it's far easier to complain and moan and groan. We ever been to a class on moaning and groaning? But we know how to do it, don't we? We practice peace. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. And then let me show you what I think is the fourth and the most important part of dealing with this stress, this issue of stress and worry in our life. And I know, coming up here at the holidays, that this could be really, really tough. First of all, it says practice peace. Just, I'm not going to worry about it. Second of all, he says practice praise. Pray about everything. Practice praise. Give thanksgiving for the things that God has done. I heard somebody this morning, we were talking about, last week, talking about these Occupy folks. And they said this, that if you're in America, if you are in the bottom 1% of income in America, you are in the top 99% of income in the world. So all these folks sitting around occupying, if they want to occupy something, let them go occupy. What was in countries I named last week that make $500 a year? Bulgaria or whatever it was. We're blessed beyond belief. There's not a person in here who this Thanksgiving didn't throw more food in the trash can than some people ate this week. Practice peace. Worry about nothing. Practice prayer. Pray about everything. Practice praise by thanksgiving. But then here's the fourth thing, and this may be tough this holiday season. Practice prevention. Look what he says. He says, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Let me tell you what Paul is saying, I think, finally, when it comes to dealing with stress and worry. If it worries you, get away from it. Now, that may mean somebody. And I know at the holidays, that may be tough. But you got to ask yourself, what's more important? And listen, I know it's tough, and you may not can help but be in the same room with them, whatever, but you don't have to let them ruin your outlook. You think about the things that are pure, that are holy. Listen, one of the best things some of us could do would be to get caller ID. And when you see that person's name on the caller ID, you let voicemail get it. Because you know, listen, every one of us has probably at least one person in our life that way, that when we finish talking to them, we feel worse than we did when we started. Now, listen, anybody got that person in their life? You're not raising your hand because you're sitting with them. I know. You know, hey, listen, you may be married to them. I don't know. You know. But listen, all of us know those circumstances, those situations, those places, those people that raise our stress level. Dodge them best you can. Listen, one of my favorite sayings, a good run's better than a bad stand. Yeah, and I realize sometimes that person lives under the same roof with you. That's just fact of life sometimes. You know, listen, you got to learn how to deal with them because Paul says here, think about the things that are lovely. Think about the things that are pure. Think about the things that are good. Think about the things that are righteous. Think about the things that are holy. And I realized this morning, I know, that I said this morning, it's a whole lot easier to roll off the tongue than to come back in and have to chew that up and eat. Listen, every one of us has somebody in our life that way. A situation, It may be your job. Maybe you need to start looking for a job. If you can't work there, if working there is elevating your stress and killing you slowly, maybe it's time to hunt a job. And I know that's some really heavy, heavy thoughts. But somewhere now you got to sit down and say, this is killing me. This is killing me. I got to do something with it. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Be thankful. But most of all, close the door. Don't let it happen. Stay away from those. Listen, all of us walk into circumstances sometimes. You go to the mailbox, you're not thinking about it, and you pull out something out of the mailbox, a letter, a bill, something you wasn't expecting. You know, you go to the mechanic thinking you need, you know, wiper fluid, and he comes back and tells you you need a transmission. You know, all of us walk blindly sometimes into those things. It just, you know. But we also sometimes willingly, knowingly end up in situations that we know are going to put us over the edge. And here's the thing. When we get in those positions, not only are we killing ourselves, but we're no longer glorifying God. Look what Paul says down here in this verse. He says in verse 7, after you pray about it, worry about nothing, pray about everything, your peace, your praise. Look what he says. He says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will, what's that word? Guard. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, you want to deal with worry? Practice these four things. And God Himself will guard you. God Himself will guard you. Listen, let's not have too much confessional here. But men, or wives, I guess, either way. Have you ever had something happen in your house? Your kids did something and you just say, don't tell your mama, it just ain't worth it. Sometimes you just gotta avoid the situation. Just avoid it. Listen, all of us know what stress can do. And Paul says, worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Praise and prevention. Don't put yourself in those circumstances. Don't put yourself in those circumstances where you know stress is waiting. I want to ask you to bow your heads. You're here this morning, and it may not have anything to do with the holiday season. It may just be your life. It may just be what's going on in your world, in your workplace, in your home. And the worries, the stress of life are slowly eating away at you. Paul says, worry about nothing. Pray about everything. We generally want to do both, worry and pray. That's not what he says. This one, I want to invite you all over this building. Bring and leave those worries here. Lord, I hear your word, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to pray about it. I'm